Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
Podcast ads are the worst, right? Everyone hates them. You can get Saints Happy Hour ad-free by becoming a patron. That's right. Patrons get access to every show ad-free. No ads ever. You also get Breaking Saints News podcast, Saints player grades, early access to shows, and behind-the-scenes access. Plus, you get access to our Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7 in private with other Saints Happy Hour listeners. And you get our world-famous booze bundle with four swag items. Amazing. So sign up and never have to suffer through another ad again. Go to saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. Thanks to JLD Hot Sauce and Knives, Saints Happy Hour listeners now get to listen to the complete version of our weekly Twitter Spaces the entire football season. If you want award-winning hot sauces like Boot Jolica or Reaper Madness Special Reserve, go to www.jldsharpsauce.com. They have incredible jellies such as palm and pepper. They also have an incredible selection of handmade knives for cooking, hunting, and your outdoor needs. Go check out the Zombie Killer Quartering Cleaver and tell me it's not the best damn quartering cleaver you ever saw in your entire life. Jerry Embler is a tremendous supporter of Saints Happy Hour, so we're asking you to support the people who support Saints Happy Hour. Go to www.jldsharpsauce.com to get the best hot sauces and knives at the best prices anywhere. Use promo code Saints Happy Hour and get 10% off. That's www.jldsharpsauce.com.
G'day, it's Stevie from 12 Ninja here. And look, if you like American football, you should check out Saints Happy Hour podcast. I personally know all about American football, other than it's a bunch of massive blokes wearing spandex shoulder pads and helmets running around with a throwing a football. In Australia, you don't throw footballs. You punch it or you kick it. And there's no protection. They're all naked and there's sharks and crocodiles fired out of cannons onto the field, and we all stand around and drink blood watching it. But if American football's your thing, you know what to do. Saints Happy Hour podcast. Stick it in your ear hole.
Another edition of Saints Happy Hour podcast. It's that time of week where we do a Twitter Spaces. As always, the Twitter Spaces is presented by JLD Hot Sauces and Knives. For all your hot sauce and knives need, go to jldsharpsauce.com. Andrew Juge is joining me as always. Andrew, before we get to the Saints and Seahawks, I just want to say, if you told me to pick the Saints quarterback and you said to me, you can have Matt Ryan, you can have Russell Wilson, you can have Geno Smith, or you can have Jameis Winston. I'm not saying I would have picked Jameis first, because I'm not going to lie. I'd have picked Russell Wilson. I'd have probably picked Matt Ryan, then Jameis. Geno Smith would have been last, but I'm watching a cooked off between Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson. Like, it is incredible to me how bad Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson look.
I'm really feeling that term, a cooked off.
It is. It's not that mine. I've seen that on the Twitters all over the place. That's not.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. No, dude, I can't even think of, like, it's so strange to me that Geno Smith is awesome. And look, we're going to see real quick on Sunday. But yeah, look, we've seen this over the course of time in the NFL, right? Like Nick Foles was caught lightning in a bottle the year he won the Super Bowl. Same with Flacco. I mean, remember that year Case Keenum with the Vikings?
Me and you had an argument all offseason when they got Kirk Cousins, and you were like, they're going to be better with Kirk Cousins. And I was like, Kirk Cousins in his entire life has never been as good as Case Keenum was this year. Like, he's not going to be – like, the Vikings aren't going to be better because Kirk Cousins can't reach the level of Case Keenum. And it's one of the times where I was right. But you're right. Like, you know, Nick Foles, I would say his Super Bowl year is
– Of course you worked in the one time you had a take that was more solid than mine.
That's
you
right.
You just had to let everyone
I mean, my take – you see, though, my bad takes are like – it's like a fire hose. You can't keep up with them. The good ones, they're easy to remember.
Right.
But Nick Foles, even his lightning in a bottle, I think of his lightning in a bottle is 2013 when he played the Saints in the playoff game. His lightning in the bottle for the Super Bowl, that was really just like a month. His year in 2013 was ridiculous. He had like 27 touchdowns and 2 picks. Like it was madness.
Madness, yeah. So, yeah, I'm hoping that this Geno Smith thing like dies a quick death on Sunday. Like, I'm hoping the Saints defense plays amazing. Maybe the Saints get an early lead. I know I'm going crazy here. I mean, suggesting that is next level. But you know, look, Saints go up 10-0. They stop the run, and all of a sudden they're forcing Geno. Maybe Geno and Seattle offensively, they get more aggressive because they're feeling confident.
Yeah,
and this is the. The normalizing.
Well,
game,
let's be real with Geno. When he played Denver, who has a good defense, he struggled. He was okay. When he played San Francisco, really good defense, maybe the best defense in the NFL, he was bad. When he played Atlanta and when he played Detroit, two of the bottom four defenses, he was good. So, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, all I can tell you is from a fantasy perspective, he is – grossly outperforming my two quarterbacks.
I started
by an appreciable distance.
I started him against the Lions instead of Tom Brady against Kansas City, and I won in my fantasy league by a point and a half. So, but as to the Saints, Andrew, today we talked about it on the Patrons Only podcast, the YouTube video we do on the YouTube channel, but if you only listen to us audio wise, it's for patrons only. We talked about the practice report. The Saints still have a ton of people on it, but it's a really good practice report, I felt like, because you're going to get Kamara back, you're hopefully going to get Pete back, and Seattle is dreadful against the run, and in theory, if you add Pete to the Saints offensive line that played well against Minnesota, and you add Kamara, hopefully you can do some business running the ball against Seattle. I thought the injury report was excellent news for the Saints today.
Well, I mean, we talked about Michael Thomas, and that's the part that has me really uneasy. But otherwise, yeah, no, you're right. I think overall it's positive. But, you know, this is, I guess, 5 practices in a row that Michael Thomas has missed with a toe injury. And I guess – it's a good thing that things are quiet for now, and he's not tweeting things that make me feel even less comfortable. But I'm nervous, man.
No, I mean, I think it's fair. I think it's fair because, listen, you know, if he misses significant time with the toe, that's 3 straight years that he's missed time, and the Saints probably will move on from him. Even post June or whatever, because you like 3 years in a row, NFL teams aren't going to pay people $20 million if you're injured 3 years in a row, you know. So he's under the gun to get healthy. Okay, so we got a bunch of people that want to talk. We got Mr. Cleo, and then Freaking About Football. Mr. Cleo, what you got for us tonight? How are you feeling about Seattle on Sunday?
It's a big game. The errors across the board on the team just have this give me this feeling of rolling chaos with with Dennis Allen. So I really want to see them push the reset button and just play relatively error-free football. I'd love for y'all to talk about, like we keep saying, toe. With Michael Thomas, is this like the old 80s turf toe injury, or what is the situation?
It has to be, yeah. I would assume it's turf toe. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, and I didn't evaluate him, but anytime you're missing time with a toe, I mean, it has to be turf toe, which is essentially, you know, damage to the ligaments in the big toe is typically where it's at. But yeah, I mean, it's concerning in the sense that, you know, this is the injury that Penning has, and he's out until November with it now. Penning needed surgery. I think for him, it was kind of the worst case scenario, where it was a complete tear of the ligaments, pretty mangled in there. The fact that Michael Thomas hasn't even been put on IR yet tells me that he doesn't need surgery. So now, but like, look, this is an injury that ended Heath Shuler's career. So, you know, whether it's 2 weeks, 8 weeks, like this is, unfortunately, it's kind of one of those things. It's an injury that lingers, and there's kind of no telling. It's just kind of like, let the, how much pressure you can put on your foot and how comfortable you are walking, like let the healing be your guide basically. And it's kind of hard to project, at least in my history and experience of following football and knowing about this injury. And so, some guys have it in their back.
Sterling Sharp, it ended his career too, I think.
Yeah.
We've lived through the Michael Thomas doesn't need surgery thing before, and that did not end well.
It did not, Mr. Cleo. And thanks for joining us. You know, Andrew, Mr. Cleo, he brought up a good point about the Saints and the mistakes. It was interesting yesterday and today, players talking about that they have to be more accountable, not to coach, to each other. You know, it was interesting that they said, look, the coaches can harp on it and focus on it, but we as players, we have to be accountable to each other. You know, Kamara was talking about me and Mark, we can't fumble. We can't put our team in that position. So it's because this team is a veteran team. Like, the Saints are one of the oldest NFL teams there is. So it's really interesting, you know, without Sean Payton and Dennis Allen is the new guy, it's really interesting to me, Andrew, that this veteran group, they're like trying to close the ranks and like trying to like get their, for lack of a better term, like get their crap together. So that made me feel better. Like, I feel like the Saints, like the veterans, they know what it is. You go 1-4, man, your season is it's falling in the abyss. I feel good about what I'm hearing from the players. Maybe it won't matter. Maybe they're not practicing well. I don't know. But I felt really good about what I've heard the last 2 days. I feel like the Saints are going to come out and they're going to be as focused as they can be.
Well, I certainly hope so. And look, yeah, they've been in all four of these games. That's what Alvin Kamara said. It's not like I think Tyrann Mathieu said this. It's not like the doors are getting blown off, and he's right. And I think it's important to remember that as badly as they've played and as much as they've kind of self-destructed in these games, there has been an opportunity to win all four of them.
Yeah.
They were in these games with an opportunity to win in the fourth quarter. So I just think come Sunday, it's really got to be about – let's play sound football and let's let the chips fall where they may, right? Like, if Geno Smith continues on this tear that he's on and, you know, Seattle beats you because they're a better team, then so be it. But I like the Saints' chances against most teams in the league. Now, you know, if we're playing Buffalo, Kansas City, you know, whatever, like,
yeah,
there are some teams in the league where I'm like, yeah, maybe they could play a perfect game and they would lose. But I just feel like with most teams, not making mistakes, colossal mistakes, right? Game-costing errors.
Yeah.
Not making those is probably enough for the Saints to beat most teams in the
Yeah,
league.
Like, if you give me the turnover chart or whatever, the turnover, you tell me the turnover column Sunday, and you say the Saints are going to be +2 in the turnover column for Seattle, I would be like, I'm betting $300 on the Saints to win and cover this game. Now, the next week against Seattle, if you said the Saints are going to win the turnover battle by 1, I'd be like, Joe Burrow could hit a couple plays. They got, you know, they got great receivers. They got T. Higgins. They got Jamar Chase. The Saints win in the turnover battle against one when Cincinnati might have a huge advantage at quarterback and dependent on health. That'd be a little fluke. But you're right. Like most teams, man, the Saints, they win the turnover battle, they'll be right in it. But this game, besides that, what do you think they need to do Sunday, besides the turnover battle?
Well, you know, I do think Seattle is horrific against the run. So I think it's really got to be about supporting Andy Dalton. And especially if Michael Thomas isn't going to be there. Look, I've been promised that Alvin Kamara looks faster. I've been promised that he looks better than ever. You know, that he's more powerful. This is the game where he has to show it. I mean, I think he's got to go over 100 yards. He needs to break some runs. And he needs to get Andy Dalton in a position where he can go play action and just has easy throws. And his down and distance is manageable.
Yeah. No, I agree. Freaking About Football, what you got for us?
I agree that the players are saying is positive in terms of like that aspect. But like if you look at the turnovers, especially the fumbles, like they usually happen when like it's been like, except for maybe the Kamara fumble versus Carolina, but like, you know, the offense has been struggling for like a half. They aren't moving the ball and like somebody is just trying to make a play and like they get careless with the ball, like Ingram versus Atlanta. Hardy versus like Minnesota, like Dalton. That kind of thing. So like, yeah, and like Dalton at the end of the half, and like it's great that they're saying this, but like, say they start to struggle against Seattle in the first half, and like they can't move the ball, then what happens? Like, I want to see them. It's not gonna like I trust they're not gonna turn the ball over in the first like two drives, barring a freak accident. It's gonna be when you haven't moved the ball at all. Seattle got like a touchdown because like of a broken play or something, and now you're down 7-0, and you don't see anything good happening offensively. What are you going to do? And so like that's my worry offensively. It's not as much the turnovers as much as them getting frustrated and then turning the ball over.
Yeah, I mean that's a great point, Freaking About Football. And thanks for joining us. You know, Andrew, they just need the Saints, man. They just need anything freaking good. And it can be full-on shenanigans. It can be, as I like to say, falling ass backwards into turnover. I don't care. It could be Seattle fumbles the opening kickoff, Saints get it first and 10 at the 20, and Kamara rips off two runs and it's 7-0, and you're like, that's a total BS.
You just described the dream scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, give me that.
I mean, but they did. The thing is, the Saints have to have something good happen early where their sideline can go, here we go. This is us. This is Saints football. We're back. We're fine. Like they need it to happen. And the thing is, what do you always say? Like, it can't. They're -9 in turnovers. Like, eventually, it's going to stop. I mean, I saw Mike Ditka and Heath Shuler dominate a Barry Sanders Lions team. Like, eventually, no matter how bad a team is, they have a day where it just goes their way. So it better be Sunday.
Well, you know what's crazy, Ralph, is that, well, first of all, the Saints have 11 giveaways. In four games, 11. And I'd love to say that they have like a preferred method of turning the ball over, but they're equal opportunity. They have 6 fumbles and 5 interceptions. So they like to mix up how they cough the football up. And then, dude, penalties, this is crazy. First of all, the Saints are number one in the NFL in penalty yards. Actual number of penalties is actually the Broncos with 37. Saints have 34. But if you go by penalty yards, the Saints are number one in the NFL. So they're number one in the NFL in penalty yards, and they're number one in the NFL in giveaways. I mean, you want to talk about how you lose games, that's it. But number two in the league in penalty yards is Seattle.
Oh, my God.
This matchup on Sunday, like, it might be, like,
Flagapalooza, baby.
Flags are going to be flying like it's, you know, Halloween.
Somebody's going to get their eye put out. Like
candy's being given out to kids in the neighborhood.
That's right.
You know, it's like, yeah. So that's what we're looking at. And I don't know, like on some level, maybe one of these teams, right? Like one of them is going to get penalized more than the other unless they both get 10 penalties. So it's kind of like who cleans it up better.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
Podcast ads are the worst, right? Everyone hates them. You can get Saints Happy Hour ad-free by becoming a patron. That's right. Patrons get access to every show ad-free. No ads ever. You also get Breaking Saints News podcast, Saints player grades, early access to shows, and behind-the-scenes access. Plus, you get access to our Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7 in private with other Saints Happy Hour listeners. And you get our world-famous booze bundle with 4 swag items. Amazing. So sign up and never have to suffer through another ad again. Go to saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
Bud Rich, what you got for us tonight?
You think Dennis Allen, Pete Carmichael are watching this game and texting each other going, hey, we ain't doing this shit on Sunday, okay? If we do this, we gonna fight.
That's right. The Colts, not that people listening to the Spaces gives a damn about Indianapolis, but the Colts offensive line, they've had some injuries. But their offensive line decline is as steep as the Saints' special teams. And the thing with the Colts, no team in the NFL has sort of allotted more cap space to their offensive line than the Colts, and their offensive line is terrible. So,
and you want to know the worst thing about it? They announced it's about two hours before kickoff. Apparently, 3 of the 5 starters are all playing brand new positions. They put the right tackle at left tackle, right guard at right tackle, and the right tackle at, and then they put like some backup right tackle at right guard.
Whew, that sounds like Saints Dolphins, Andrew.
but yeah, I'm hoping that the Saints can get off to a way better start on offense than what we're seeing from either team, because we may not have an offensive coach, but if I could choose between Dennis Allen, Frank Reich, or Nathaniel Hackett, Dennis Allen all day.
No, they do need to start better. I mean, it's bordering on ridiculous when you consider just what the Saints have done early in games. Now, we know, like, Tampa, they scored 3 points at halftime, right? I think against the Falcons, I believe they had 7 points. They did go down and get a touchdown in the second quarter. But you know, Carolina, what did they have at halftime? 3 points again?
Nothing.
I mean, it's that, nothing. Yeah. No, they were shut out. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, this past week they were shut out in the first quarter. So I just think the way this team has started games, it's just hard. Like on some level, it's actually impressive that they've been down multiple scores in each game and they've come back to make it interesting in the fourth quarter, because look, one of these days, like if they keep doing this, doors are going to get blown off.
Minnesota was like, really close to blowing the doors off of them.
Yeah, their tight end dropped the ball that went right through his hands on third down, and they had to settle for a field goal there and like a couple other times. But like, I'm telling you, man, like they cannot keep doing this, and we need to start a game in a better position. So whether that's a turnover on the opening drive or you know, just like a sustained drive. I know it's hard because Andy Dalton's your quarterback and you probably don't have Michael Thomas, but like, yeah, maybe you go 85 yards and you put the ball in the end zone. Like Seattle's defense, like this should be the team that you can do that.
I'm hoping first play from scrimmage for the Saints, they just rip off a 35-yard run and just set the tone for the rest of the game that we're just going to shove that ball down the throat of Seattle's defense and just run with it.
Yeah. Like I want Andy Dalton 11 for 15, 110, and 1 touchdown. And the Saints have run. Saints run
for the whole game.
Yeah. And the Saints run for like, the Saints run for like 220, and then we can have the argument that Andy Dalton is a winner and a game manager, and people will be like, he completed 8 passes. I mean, I'm a sicko. That's what I want.
I would love the Green Bay Packers, the Seattle team from like week one, Green Bay Packer, this team where we just dropped 38 points and only allow 3.
Yeah.
That's what I fucking like.
You know, I blame Dad Boy Wolf for this, because when he came on this podcast, Ralph, he said, wouldn't it be hilarious if Jameis got injured, Andy Dalton came in, played lights out, won the starting job, and then like when Jameis came back healthy, they're like, nope, we're sticking with Andy. Like, we're getting closer and closer to that being a reality, especially if he plays well this week and the Saints win. Like, I blame Death Boy Wolf.
I'll say that he spoke
this into existence.
I want to say, if the Saints, I mean, look, the way the Saints are playing it, you hate to look more than past Sunday at 3 o'clock, right? But if the Saints beat Seattle and they start Dalton one more week against Cincinnati and Dalton gets Bengal revenge game and the Saints are 3-3, and then the Saints are like, hey, we're going to go back to Jameis. It's the biggest start of Jameis' career, because I don't think the Saints, if Jameis is healthy, like if they're winning, even if Dalton is just average and putting up 25 points or whatever, like the Saints, I think they're going to have less patience and rope with Jameis. Like, because they're
First of all, like, man, I pray that situation happens, because I mean, talk about a good problem to have. Like, I'm so starved for a win.
That's right.
That, like, I will deal with the quarterback controversy if we can just get to 3-3. I'll take it. You know, so, like, I would sign up for that. But I think the way you've described it is both the most likely and the most uncomfortable. Like, if they win these next two games, which, you know, beating Cincinnati would be tough. And honestly, I mean, things have to change. Otherwise, they're not winning either game, right? They'll probably be 1-5. But the scenario where they win both and Andy Dalton just plays okay, not bad, they're pretty good even, just like fine, solid enough, but like nothing special. I think that's the most realistic scenario. Like, I obviously, if he tears it up and he's awesome, then the decision's really easy. You stick with the guy. But what do you do if you're 3-3? And all of a sudden, Jameis is like, "All right, my back's good to go. I'm good now. Let's roll." But like, you've just won the last two games with Andy Dalton, and he hasn't been great, but he's been good enough for you to win those two games. That's a scenario that I think is both like realistic and would be very difficult on the Saints, because then for me, that's a really tough choice, because you know Jameis has more potential, and we all know that, and if he's healthy, still believe he's a better quarterback than Andy Dalton. But if you've just won those two games with Andy Dalton, man, can you really go back?
And here's the thing. If you're 3-3, Jameis, he doesn't have like 2 weeks to like find it, you know? Cause you can't be like, okay, Jameis, you came back, it was bumpy and you lost 2 weeks and now we're 4-4. No. If you're 3-3, Jameis plays 2 weeks, you lose him, you're 3-5. So like, I just think it puts immense pressure on Jameis. It puts immense pressure on Dennis Allen. But like you said, I'm here for it. Like, I just want the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Just please be relevant come October.
Look, I was here for Aaron Brooks and Jake DeLome and all that. And that was super uncomfortable. And it was awkward. And it was difficult and all that. And the fan base was torn. And it was uncomfortable. But, like, I would rather deal with that again and be 3-3. Then like 1-5, and it's clear we got to go back to Jameis.
That's right.
Know? Yeah.
BTW, what you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, boys? How you doing?
Doing good. What's going?
You know what's funny is that we're actually seeing the first like residue of CD being gone. The defense, like Buttridge said it, we don't set the tone. Guys are out there playing. They play well, you know, in spurts in the game, but just that energy from CD, you know, the same stuff that we have from CD and Kwan last year, kind of, you know, it got the guys going and kept the D the energy on both sides of the ball. And I think that this week will be the first time we see the secondary together. So we'll see, you know, Adebo, Sean, May, and Matthew together all playing in that secondary, which I think will help, you know, get to the quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see if they put Adebo on Metcalf. Sometimes let him kind of fist fight with Metcalf off the line and have Marshawn play Lockett, because Lockett's been playing well this year for Seattle. But what do you guys think about that? How do you guys feel about the secondary right now?
I think your point about the defensive energy, I think it's partially true, but I was at the Tampa game. I thought the defense had incredible energy. The stadium had energy. The defense was fighting its guts out. The thing is, to build energy, and you can call, I don't like the word momentum because I think that's kind of made up, but energy and excitement and that sort of thing, to build that BTW, you got to make plays. Like, you know what would give the Saints defense a lot of energy? A 7-0 lead.
A turnover.
A 7-0 lead. Drive down, get the lead on Seattle, and get Geno Smith in a 3rd and 8 when Seattle's trailing 7-0 and you got a full stadium of people. Like, that gives you energy. You gotta make plays.
Ralph,
you gotta get ahead.
That's a good point. Because Ryan, I do agree with that. Because look, man, on some level, it's remarkable how well they've played when you consider that, okay, we're sitting here and this is the 5th drive in a row that the offense has gone 3 and out. You know, oh gosh, we gotta go back on the field. We gotta stop them again. And like, all things considered, the offense has been so frustrating. And it's been so anemic just in terms of just even moving the chains. Like, just getting first downs has been tough sledding. And I think that can have a really demoralizing effect. And, look, I think from a pass rushing perspective, it's been disappointing. But, again, you get a better pass rush when you have a lead and you turn the other team one-dimensional. That's when you get more sacks. So, you know, that hasn't really happened yet. So I don't think we've really, because of how these games have played out and they go down multiple scores and the offense fails to get first downs, I think the way these games have transpired, we really haven't seen the defense play their best ball yet because they've had a hand tied behind their back.
Agreed. And the penalties haven't helped at all either. So it's been, you know, we could talk about that all day. It's irrelevant now, but it's just – hopefully that all balances out and these guys play well. I think they're going to win pretty handily on Sunday. So it'll be a fun podcast for you guys to do, you know, come Monday.
Nice. What's your score prediction, Ryan?
I actually think we're going to see something like 34-13. I think the Saints are going to jump on them early, and I think it's going to be early and often.
You're not buying the Geno Smith hype?
I'm not. I think a lot of that's been smoke and mirrors. I think he's going to get behind early. I mean, Geno's been known to throw the ball to the other team. Which I think will help us now that we have our secondary healthy together, because May's going to play. So, I think having Pete back is going to be huge, and I think we're just going to run the ball down their throats to start the game.
You know, I tried to create a stat like 3 years ago, and I charted it the whole year. And it was a stat where I called it game control, and I was like, when the Saints have the lead and have the ball, do they score to extend the lead out? Dude, the Saints, Andrew, I'm not even sure if they've had the ball and the lead this year. I know they got the lead against Minnesota, but they didn't stop Minnesota, right? I don't know if they've had the ball and the lead this entire year.
Well, they should have if Honey Badger didn't get for what was it, illegal contact into the face?
Yeah, but I'm saying they didn't. Maybe against Atlanta they led, but I don't, and had the ball, but I mean it's so rare. You gotta have those things to be successful. So we got some more people. Let me see. We got ECIV. What you got for us tonight?
Hi, I'd like to first start by saying that don't you love seeing Matt Ryan lay an egg on national television?
It is. It's nice. I'm not going to lie. It really is. It really is.
The game is absolute garbage. I just love seeing Matt Ryan be bad.
He's so bad.
I'm going to be honest, guys. I feel no hatred for Matt Ryan. I know this is weird, but like, now that he's off the Falcons,
you're just like, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, he's never. Just another quarterback. I never hated Matt Ryan. I hated Matt Ryan like 1% of my hatred for Cam Newton.
Oh,
like,
of course.
Like, Cam Newton was much more fun to hate, and he was the outfits. Like, Matt Ryan was just like, for a guy that played so many times against the Saints, like, they don't really have, we don't really have any, like, moments where we're like, oh, Matt Ryan killed us, you know? Like, he's just so vanilla and blah. Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest, I hated Roddy White more than any other Falcon.
Yeah. Now, Roddy White was looking terrible in another jersey. I would second line.
I don't even think Matt Ryan made our Saints villain bracket. Like, that's
he
how,
didn't.
That's like how pathetic it was. Like, he didn't even make the play-in.
How can you hate a quarterback that you beat like three quarters? Yeah.
I gotta say, it's 6-6 Colts Broncos. Is Denver is Mr. Walmart? Is he calling Mickey Loomis's cell phone right now, Andrew?
What for? Oh, for Sean Taylor.
Yeah.
Shit.
I mean,
I hope he is. I really hope he goes to Dallas. Like, I really just want him to go to Dallas so we can get, like, Dallas's picks, or maybe I don't know. I'm going to just throw it out there. Maybe Dak Prescott. I don't know. It's not happening.
But... Man, ECVI, thanks.
Well, hold on. ECIV.
ECIV, yeah.
Would you sign up for this? If I told you that Sean Payton is going to the Cowboys – that the Saints would get multiple first-round picks. That's all I tell you. It's more than one. They get more than one first-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
The Cowboys win a Super Bowl that following year. Do you accept that? Or do you want mystery door number two?
Oh, God. I mean, the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl is bad. But, like, I'm going to be honest – it's more of a weighing of whether or not would you rather the Saints be better in the future or the Cowboys win a Super Bowl.
I'm
going to have to take the Saints.
I got to take the picks. I got to take the picks.
Yeah.
And you'd get like a pick in the 20s, low teens this year.
Well, then you get 32.
Still though, like if you could, the Saints, they hit on Ramchek at 32. You can hit the pick at 32. Like,
we don't have a pick. Like, yeah. 32 is better than nothing.
Yeah,
well, that's true. We can't turn our nose up at
we can't turn our nose up at anything.
Yeah.
Like, we have nothing. We're not built for the future. So, I mean, I'll take anything to help out, you know, our youngins in the team. Like, please, because we have nothing. Look, 3 years down the road, we have nothing. And that's – even though now – you know, I see this team as, even though we're doing bad, the NFC is really bad and we can still compete. 3 years down the road, we have absolutely nothing.
Well, 3 years down the road, though, the NFC South might still be terrible, though.
Right. And it's like, do we draft a quarterback? I mean, you know, is Michael Thomas even still here? Is Kamara even still here? Like, we don't have anything 3 years from now. And it's scary. It's scary. Even though
Chris Olave,
3 years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Olave. Yeah. You know what? He's gonna be the best wide receiver in the league in 3 years. We're gonna just be positive. We're gonna be
all- And Trevor Penning, hey, thanks, EC. And you know, Trevor Penning could be good and you're there. Look, the Saints offense, their roster's old, Andrew. But I'm telling you, man, Denver to me is going to look – they look – every single week, they look more and more like the Sean Payton team. And it's complicated because they don't have a first or second round pick in 2023. But the thing that Denver has, they have Russell Wilson. They have a owner worth $40 billion, I think. So you know they'll give Sean Payton whatever he wants. I think Denver is more – they become more and more likely the spot for Sean Payton every single week. And I think as Saints fans, like, we're going to have to come to this reality that, like, I think they'll get, like, a first and a second or a first and a third for Sean Payton. But, like, we might have to wait for it for 2024, which will be weird. But, like, I just think, like, Denver – every week that they drop this crappy offense with Russell Wilson, it becomes more and more likely that Sean Payton's going to be their guy.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's the NFL. I kind of expect the unexpected.
Yeah, it could.
I still think Dallas, if I had to guess, I still think they're the odds-on favorite. But I still, man, like, at the end of the day, it's kind of like the way I look at Deshaun. Like, none of us expected the Browns to get it. They were dead to rights, and then the money talks.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, like, if Jacksonville, obviously I know Jacksonville just got a new head coach, but I'm just saying, if some awful team is like, Sean Payton, here's $20 million a year, he's going.
Yeah.
He's not saying no to that.
Yeah, and look, Miami was going to pay him 5 years, $100 million. I was arguing with people there like, Sean Payton is not going to go somewhere without a quarterback, and it's not just going to be about money. I was like, grow up.
It's always
grow up. Always.
It's not about money until it's so much money that like you can't say. No.
It's not about money until Denver or the Jets or some mystery team or Carolina is like, hey, Saints, we'll give you a couple of picks, and oh, by the way, we're going to pay Sean Payton 5 years, $150 million, and he would never go to Carolina. They don't have a quarterback. $150 million. You bet your ass he'll go to Charlotte. Like, I just think these billionaire owners are going to do it. And I'm going to throw out another team, the Redskins, or they're not the Commanders. I'm sorry. I know you say, oh, he'd never go for Daniel Snyder. That guy's a scumbag. Dude, if Daniel Snyder if he can talk Spurrier out of Florida, he can talk Sean Payton to D.C. I'm just saying.
Dude, I just want to say, like, I say this lovingly because unlike some Saints fans who have turned on him, I love Sean Payton. He's kind of a scumbag, too. I mean, if we're really being honest. And, like, dude, he came to the Saints in 2006, for God's sakes. You know, like, you don't tell me that he doesn't, like, that's too big of a challenge. That the Commanders have been too bad for too long and that job doesn't interest him. Don't tell me that.
Yeah.
So just to chime in real quick, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, Roby, go ahead.
Awesome. So a team that I haven't heard anyone say anything about is San Diego. They got a quarterback.
Chargers, yeah.
They got it. Yeah, they got it. They got a pretty solid defense, a young core. Lombardi is there. We know what he did down here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, when you really consider the assets that they have, I believe they have picks.
They do.
They have a stud running back, right? So all in all, I mean, San Diego, Vegas. It's in Vegas. No, it's
LA. LA. It's LA.
Yeah. It's LA, right? So, yeah. I mean, I think that's appealing. I mean, Dallas, people keep saying Dallas, but I honestly think the Chargers makes the most sense.
The Chargers make sense, Roby, because they need to be relevant in L.A., and they're not relevant even with Justin Herbert. The one pause I have about the Chargers, their ownership is poor by NFL standards. I mean, like poor, bottom five cash spending teams. Like, they have trouble competing in free agency and doing things. Like, so I don't know if they have the wherewithal to cut the check to Sean Payton for $20 million a year. Like,
I think, but he has the ultimate leverage, I think, in that. And I think he has the cachet to do it. And it hasn't been said, and as a native New Orleanian that still lives in New Orleans, I will say, as much as I love Sean Payton, a lot of the issues that we have as a team is a product of him trying to outsmart the room. Because last I checked, Lamar was on the board, and he traded up for the two first, who's always hurt. now, granted, the Mahomes situation, I get it, right? Like, you know, the Chiefs leapfrogged us. We ended up with Marshawn. That's fine, right? It worked out in that regard. Yeah. But, I mean, sometimes Sean is like, oh, I'm the smartest guy in the room. But, see, that usually results in the dumbest moves, dumbest decisions.
Thank you, Guy. I think that's an interesting point, Andrew, in that it will be really interesting with Sean Payton when he's in complete control. And Mickey Loomis tried to do almost everything Sean Payton wanted, but they didn't do everything Sean Payton wanted. It'll be interesting when Sean Payton has all the power and all the control. If he doesn't have somebody to balance him off, like Mickey Loomis.
I'm going to call it right now. I think it'll be a disaster.
Ooh.
I just think he needs that. I think Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton together were the perfect yin and yang. I think the reason why that worked is that Sean Payton loved to shoot from the hip. Mm-hmm. He was impulsive. He had great instincts. Mm-hmm. And Mickey Loomis was very measured. He was very calculated. Mm-hmm. And I just think those two people, and I don't know if anyone knows about the DISC assessments, but a DISC assessment is basically just a behavioral profile that tells you how you tick, how you work. And Sean Payton is the classic high D in a DISC assessment. And Mickey Loomis is a classic high C. And high D is like, wants to be a dominant personality, wants to shoot from the hip, you know, shoot first, ask question later kind of person. And then C people, high C people are dominated by process, following the rules. And that's Mickey Loomis. And I think you blend those two kinds of personalities together and they balance each other perfectly. And every business should be set up with those two kind of people having seats at a leadership table. I think that's how you succeed in business, is having counterbalancing personalities like that. And that's exactly what they had. And I'm just telling you right now, if Sean Payton gets all this money and he's the GM and the buck stops with him, and he's the head coach and he's calling all the shots, I don't think it's going to go as well.
Yeah. Mr. Juge, we got Mr. Juge, Dylan, and Mike from Booking the Territory. Mr. Juge, what you got for us tonight?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, Ralph, I just want to say, You know, obviously we've got this perfect storm going on with so many problems. I'd like to see him turn around the kicking game. You know, I think we need to get ourselves in field position where you know we get Will Lutz in the 40s and 50s. You know, Gillikin stops out kicking coverage. You know, we stop giving up big returns, and that, you know, I don't think we're going to see any miracles where, you know, somebody gives us a game. I think we're going to have to just, you know, try to do things like use field position to put ourselves in better shape. That would be my thing.
It's a great point, Mr. Juge. I'll do it one better. I just Andrew, special teams, don't be a disaster. Just don't be a disaster.
I really like that take by my dad. You know, like, it's a good point. Like, I would love this, even if the Saints don't score a touchdown, let's say they get the ball first, right? And let's just say they flip the field. Like, they get a couple first downs. They punt. Gillikin hits a good punt. You know, and a fair catch is called at the 8-yard line, right? They flip the field. And then let's say they stop Seattle 3-and-out. And then the next drive starts at their own 40. Like, that would be a great scenario.
Yeah.
Like, they don't necessarily have to score, but just flip the field, stop them 3-and-out. And then all of a sudden you're playing the field possession game and you're – putting yourself in a favorable position. And I just think too often this year it's been they go 3-and-out and Blake Gillikin either outkicks his coverage, the return's pretty good, and the other team's at the 37, or, you know, Blake Gillikin, you know, the Saints get a couple penalties, all of a sudden they're punting from their own 12 and Gillikin doesn't hit it right and the other team has it at their own 42, you know? So, like,
yeah.
I feel like that's what's been going on, and I think my dad's absolutely right.
I would love to – thanks, Mr. Juge. I think it's interesting. I would love to know the Saints' sort of hidden yardage. I bet you it's, like, gobs and gobs of hidden
yardage. I mean, that's what DVOA is all about, and they're dead last in the league.
They're dead in special teams, are, right?
Yeah. Yeah, in special teams. So I'm just saying, like, I bet their DVOA, I bet their hidden yardage is obscene.
Yeah. Dylan, what you got for us tonight?
Well, I'm just watching this barn burner of a Thursday night game right now.
Al Michaels, he doesn't even care. He's on, like, his stock app. Al Michaels is mailing these games in, man. Stealing Amazon's money.
he's getting $500,000, getting steak dinners, and he's just, I mean, I don't blame him either. If Amazon threw a pile of money in front of me, I'd do the same thing. But
Dylan, if I told you right now that your choices for the Saints starting quarterback on Sunday were Andy Dalton, Ryan, or Russell Wilson.
Oh.
Is it impossible that you would say Andy Dalton at this point?
Andy Dalton. Dude, Russ looks terrible. He looks terrible. I mean, considering what we're paying Andy Dalton, absolutely. I mean, he looks bad. Look, anyway, I was going to say, guys, talk me off the ledge with the Saints, because I feel like if we don't win this game on Sunday, it's over.
Here's the thing. I can talk you off the ledge, and let's be positive. The turnovers are random. I know you to play the game, hey, if you just take these three plays away. But seriously, you take away the Ingram fumble.
Wait, hold on a second. Whose voice was that?
That was my nerd voice. If you take away the Ingram fumble against Tampa and the Kamara in either the Kamara fumble or the Andy Dalton fumble against Minnesota, just take one of them away. The Saints are 3-1, and they're a bad 3-1, and everybody in the league is like, the Saints are one of the worst 3-1 teams in the league. But you know what, Dylan? We'd be like, it's fine. Jameis is freaking hurt. We'll fix it. It's going to be all right. They're winning. They're just going to get it. They're going to get it fixed. These fumbles are, and it's fine. Just pile up the wins. They're pretty close to being pretty good. But my thing is, there comes a point in every team's season where either you think you're going to be a good team going into the year, or you think you're going to be a bad team. And after about 4 or 5 weeks, you have a game where you play pretty well, and either you win and you're like, yeah, we are a good team, we're going to turn this thing around. Or you play pretty well and you have your guts ripped out, and then you're like, you know what? Maybe we are trash, and you kind of spiral downward. And I think the Saints, like, Sunday is that moment. Like, they've either got to play better, and we can see they've turned around, or they're not, and it's going to be 5 weeks of data where, like, we see these things that they keep saying they're going to fix, and they don't. But this roster is too good, I think, to fall off a cliff. I just keep telling myself that. And Dennis Allen's a good coordinator.
I think my opinion is not a hot take at all. Like, if Kamara played last weekend, we probably would have beaten the Vikings. So I just want to see how Andy Dalton looks with Kamara. If he can kind of play some small ball, move the chains, you know, score some points with Kamara, I feel like we'd be a lot better off, and we should be able to beat this team. But, man, if we – look, we better beat the Seahawks, because next week the Bengals are coming to town. So I feel like this is a must win, but we'll see. I just think we need to be a little bit healthier on offense, and I think that this team just needs to be a little bit more disciplined as well on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the Saints, you look at the schedule, 2-2 Seattle, 2-2 Bengals, 2-2 Cardinals, 1-3 Raiders. I mean, that's not in 2-2 Ravens are difficult, obviously, but then 1-3 Steelers, 2-2 Rams. Like, the schedule for the Saints until you get to the middle of November, like, they aren't going to be playing any world beaters. I saw the Rams Monday night. Andrew, Matt Stafford was a disaster. The Rams offensive line was a disaster. Like, They're going to be in these games. And the thing is, Dylan, I think they're going to be in these games whether they play well or not. Like, some of these games, they can continue to step on the rakes and be in these games. So it's going to be maddening if they don't stop with the turnovers.
Yeah, and before you let me go, I just want to say too, on the record, just go with Andy Dalton. Just go with him. I can't do Jameis anymore. I've seen enough, guys. I felt like the offense was just better, and it would have been a lot better with Kamara in there. I've seen enough of Jameis. I know there's a lot of people out there that disagree with me, but you know what? I don't want to piss this good defense away. Like, just get Andy Dalton in there and just move the chains. I just – that's where I stand, and it is what it is.
Yeah, thanks, Dylan. All right.
My pleasure.
Mike. It's been a while since we talked to you from Booking the Territory. Mike Mills, what's going on, friend?
First, can you hear me well?
I can. Go ahead.
So I got to say two things. The first one, I see why Andrew is such a good dude. I swear, every time his dad is on here and talks, he's the most positive person
he is.
About the Saints. And I I can, God, that is so welcome in today's world when someone can be as positive as Mr. Jude. So, Mr. Jude, great job, man. I can listen to you talk about the Saints all day just because of your positivity. Ralph and Jude, did y'all see, I didn't have a chance to verify this stat today, but Trey Wingo tweeted out that the Saints were 9th in the league in total yards, but 19th in points, and last, obviously, in turnovers. And I think we had two more giveaways than the next nearest team. So, and I know, like, the fourth quarter of the Falcons game may have swayed that a little because they just kind of just went, you know, it just was nuts and all the yards that piled up in the first game against the Falcons. But I just find it interesting because you think about those other games where it was bad, where it went downhill quickly with Tampa. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting to think, I would have never guessed that they would have been as high as 9th total yardage, even in garbage time yards.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives me a little more hope than I realized just thinking about this week. You know what I mean? So I was wondering if y'all saw that and what y'all thought about that.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I would say, first of all, and Mike, you know, you've always been an awesome supporter of the show, man. So good to hear you. Good to hear your voice, man. Thanks for being on. But, yeah, look, I would always say that it's one thing to have the need to put up yards, and you put up yards in garbage time, you know, and we've seen teams do that against soft coverages. And, you know, they pad – we call that stat padding, right? And they're kind of – they're going for stats, right? They're milking their stats, and it's not really that impressive. But we've seen the Saints get vertical with Chris Olave when they've been desperate. And I don't know that it's necessarily been against soft coverages.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, Olave's, like, gone up and caught some ridiculous passes. And Dalton, I mean, that throw that Dalton made with 24 seconds left,
I mean,
the seam was
Minnesota. Minnesota won, so I'm sure they're attaboy and all. But I'm sure their coaches were like, I cannot freaking believe with 20 – the one dude that we told you mother bleepers not to let beat us, you right. just let him get down the middle open and make the freaking play. And Mike, you know
– and Nick Underhill said this. He was like, Olave would lead the league in receiving yards if his quarterbacks could throw him the ball accurately. And I think that was a shot at Andy Dalton and – famous both, but like they missed him a few times where he was wide open, and
if you put
consistently getting behind the defense,
if you put Chris Olave on the 2011 Saints, they win the Super Bowl. He would be Randy Moss, right? He, because that it was unstoppable. Like it would have been like supernova magical. But,
well, again, like Michael Thomas and Kamara are out. So
yeah.
Just think a world where like Olave is getting behind defenses and Michael Thomas is moving the chains and Alvin Kamara is running the football and they're all healthy. Like, I think that would make a world of difference. And, you know, the other thing I would throw out there is it would be great to find a way to get Deonte Hardy involved just a little bit. You know, and I'm not talking about, besides the kick and punt returns, just give him a few touches, two or three touches, you know, try to hit him on a deep ball, you know, or at least allow him to stretch, be in there and stretch the defense for you and give you some stuff underneath. Because I just think the amount of attention that Olave, Michael Thomas, maybe Jarvis Landry to some degree, like the attention that they command, I think would open up an opportunity for a playmaker. And he's a home run hitter. Like, as bad as he's been this year, we still know Deonte is a home run hitter.
And here's the thing with Deonte Harris, I think why they need to give him just, like you said, two or three touches or plays. He, to me, clearly is a guy who is like, I am in a contract year. I got to make plays to get paid. And he's pressing and he's trying to run balls out the end zone. He's trying to do too much on a punt where he fumbled. I just think if you got him in the Florida game, you got him a bubble screen, and he got a 15-yard gain, I think it would just relax him a little bit and just be like, okay, now on these punts, I don't have to press.
Yeah,
these...
just run a jet sweep, and he gets 15 yards. Like, just think about how much easier that makes Andy Dalton's life.
Yeah. You know, and the thing with the Saints – Mike, that you brought up about the yardage, is, for as bad as it's been, Will Lutz got two kick, you know, he had the kick block against Carolina. He missed the field goal. You know, and the Minnesota game, right, the first drive, they had the stupid penalty on Ruiz that wasn't a penalty. You know, against Tampa, the opening drive, they kicked the field goal, but they had a mistake that they couldn't convert. You know, so they've actually, weirdly, on first drives, if not for shooting themselves in the foot, they'd probably be better off. Like, I feel like I'm not saying, Andrew, that Pete Carmichael has been wonderful and it's seamless from Sean Payton. It's not. But I see I don't see anything in the offense where I'm like, Pete Carmichael is completely freaking overwhelmed. He looks like Joe Judge with the Giants or Patricia with New England right now. Like, it's completely overwhelmed. He doesn't know what he's doing. I don't see that at all. Like, this offense, it's just sort of like a car that's like misfiring on one cylinder, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I hope they just can figure it out. Mike, what's your prediction for Sunday? Do you have – unmute yourself and just curious, do you have a prediction for Sunday?
So I'm the type of person that until you show me that you can do it, I did not believe you'll do it. So I will pessimistically go with Seattle. And my thought process is I want to put the stink on Seattle as I do that. So, you know, Seattle 26, Saints 23 – but I 100% hope I'm wrong because, like Ralph, you know, I'm older than you, Juge, and I've been a Saints fan since 81. I've seen the bad years. They're no fun. So we got to start winning. I've been through it all except for the late 70s and you know, the 60s. But, yeah, I hate to say it. I'm pessimistic. I need some more of your dad to rub off on me so that I can believe they're going to pull it off.
The thing is with the Saints this year, Mike, because they've started so slow, really, to be honest, the only fun moment they've had is the comeback against Atlanta. The other games have kind of been a grind. It's not like obviously we all watch, right? So we're watching these games, but like they haven't been like fun, and it's been a grind, and it's almost felt like you're watching a person. They're not swimming, they're trying to keep from drowning, right? And it hasn't been a fun watch. Like, I want fun, I want points, I want good start. Like, get me excited before freaking 12:30 or 1 o'clock. That's what I want.
No, you're 100% on the money. I mean, it goes back to the discussion y'all were having about them maybe not playing with the, you know, they only had the lead against, obviously, Atlanta, and they won that game. But, like, the offense, had they even had the ball for a lead? I mean, it's almost laughable at times because you got so used to all going to Peyton and Breeze years of they played with a lead so often. I mean, like, most of the time. So now that's completely flipped in these first four games. Even the game they won, they ended the lead so late. So, yeah, it's kind of like you're just sitting there like, okay, when's it going to happen? Oh, and it brings you down. That's why I said I'm pessimistic until they show me. So I know exactly what you mean. It's not fun. We still watch because we're diehards and we're Saints fans. We've been doing it our whole lives. But at the end of the day, you do want to see them do it from the beginning. And they've been close. I mean, they've had some good opening drives.
Yeah.
It's just that they haven't been able to finish them off. And honestly, if they could just finish an opening drive off, or even a second drive of the game, I feel like you'll feel a whole lot better.
Give me my kingdom, and thanks, Mike, my kingdom for a 11-play, 80-yard drive, Dalton's 4-for-4 for 55 yards. Like, just, like, give me that clap, you know?
Yeah, that would be great. And, Ralph, I need to publicly apologize for something. You know, I was really mad that the Saints lost Latavius Murray. I was really upset that they lost him. I'm watching the Denver Broncos try to run the football right now, and they're leading rusher, if you don't count Russell Wilson's scrambles. Their leading rusher is Melvin Gordon with 9 carries for 15 yards.
Right now. My God.
And So, you know what? They need Latavius Murray worse than we do. And I think I'm in a giving mood. I'm going to give them charity. I just feel so bad watching this that I feel like Latavius. I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
They must have just...
Hopefully the karma comes back around, but, like, you know, this is Melvin Gordon, 9 carries, 15 yards.
NBA,
no wonder Latavius Murray wouldn't go there.
NBA Toker, the Broncos, they just emailed Latavius Murray a reel of their crappy running backs and said, please come. NPA, what you got for us, man?
Yeah, it's funny, man. I was pretty pissed off when I seen Latavius Murray was traded. I know you were really mad too, but
I was.
Damn, I guess they do need him. And you know, I guess he's always gonna take the running back one position over, you know, third or fourth. I mean, we got AK, so I kind of understand where he's coming from. You know, it sucks though. As a Saints fan, I really wanted to have him on with us after that amazing run he had. You know. But it is what it is, you know. Right now, we got to focus on where we are right now. And my main question is, like, what's going on with Deontay Hardy? I'm a big fan, so, you know.
Yeah, no.
That's I'm a little confused as to what's going on with if he's getting traded or is he just waiting out for a paycheck. I'm confused.
I think he's just pressing too much. I think he's a guy that he's hurt. He's a little banged up, and he knows, like, he's got to perform to get paid. And the thing is with return guys, like even the great, besides like the all-time great ones like Hester, you look at most of them, even like Michael Lewis, the great returner for the Saints, like they're really good. And then it's just, you snap your fingers and it's gone. Tyrone Hughes. So I think I see a guy who's pressing tremendously because he knows if he doesn't make returns, he's not getting paid. So he's being risky. He's doing things that maybe he shouldn't. That's what I see.
Yeah, it sucks to hear that because, you know, it is starting to look like that. You know, I was really confused why he never returned. You know, I assumed it was over maybe injuries or something. But after his tweets, you know, I just stepped back from it as a fan, you know, and just look at it from a team point of view and just like, it is what it is with Deontay Hardy. I mean, we do have that rookie. I haven't heard much of him, but I know a lot of people have been raving about him.
You talking about Rashid Shaheed?
Yeah, Rashid.
Yeah. I mean, he's still on the practice squad, so, you know, we'll see. But, you know, I think with Hardy, because, look, he's a 5'6 player, and he's been to the Pro Bowl before as a return man, so he'll find a job somewhere else. But I just think when you look at him right now and the season that he's having, and he had a DUI last year, so maybe some off-the-field issues a little bit that teams would look at. I'm not judging the guy. I'm just saying, like, teams will look at that, and he's 5'6", and he's kind of having a miserable season, and he's been injured a couple times, nothing major, but just, like, he gets banged up a lot. And I just think teams will look at that, and they'll be like, yeah, sure, we'll give him a one-year, $2 million deal to come return kicks for us. You're like, I don't think he's getting a big payday, you know, based on what he's doing right now. So – it makes sense that he's pressing. It makes that he's feeling the pressure. And yeah, I mean, I think, look, if he can turn it on in the second half of the season, and let's say he catches 5 bombs between now and the end of the year where he has 4 touchdowns and he's averaging 20 plus yards a catch. And let's say he runs 1 back for a touchdown, like all of a sudden, like he might parlay that into a 3-year, $15 million deal.
Yeah. So thanks, NBA.
Let's hope so.
Thanks, NBA.
No problem.
You know, and Andrew, as we get out of here, I want to say I'm going to feel more optimistic. I didn't change my pick because I feel like once I make the pick against the Saints to change the pick to them, I feel like that's bad juju. But I just look at
you're also not a coward like David Cariello.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna if this happens or if that happens, I'm gonna change the pick. But I just look. I'm looking at this Denver Colts game tonight, and I know that's AFC. But I'm looking around the NFC. I'm looking at this Saints schedule, like they can still get it together. And listen, in 2000 they started 1-3 under Jim Haslett. They ended up 10-6 and won the West. In 2017 they started 0-2, went on a run. You know, and even the Mora years when after they had won the Dome Patrol, they had bad starts. They dug out. They never made the playoffs, and they only got to 8-8, I think, one time. They went 7-9 a bunch of times at the end of more time. But they dug out. My point is they dug out of it. And I think Dennis – I know Dennis Allen's defensive staff is good, and the offensive staff is pretty good. I still think they can dig out of it. And the NFC is so bad that if they can just get to 4-4, 5-4, they'll be right in it. And I'm telling you, we'll end here, Andrew. I really think that Tom Brady is close to washed. And I know they put up numbers against Kansas City in garbage time, but I think Tampa, they'll probably beat Atlanta, but they're going to struggle when they play Pittsburgh. And they'll probably beat Carolina because Carolina is terrible with Baker Mayfield. But Tampa's going to have a hard time getting to 10 wins. I really believe that. So if the Saints can just get it together and win 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5, like, they can be in this thing. It's not insurmountable. It's not like they're in the freaking AFC. There's still reason to hope, but it's got to start Sunday. It absolutely must.
Man, that's fair. And yeah, I mean, look, at this point, I just win Sunday. I really don't care how it looks. I really don't care who plays well. I don't care who looks awful. I don't care if they win 7-3 and turn the ball over 5 times. Like, at this point, like, just find a way to win. Just get one win.
Yeah, because you can talk yourself into it. And I just want, like, it was so fun when they beat Atlanta and had the comeback. The Saints, the community we have for the podcast and on Twitter, it's so much fun when the Saints win. And I've recalibrated my expectations. Like, I'm not even thinking Super Bowl or being a serious contender. I just want to have some freaking fun on Sunday. I want Kamara and Ingram to have a huge rushing game, and I want them to do a fun dual press conference after the game. And just have some fun. We need some fun because we ain't had fun around here in a month. We need it. So, guys, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the – well, anyway, yeah. No, look, I think this is it for the Saints. I agree with Dylan when he said earlier. Like, if they lose, well, they still got 12 games. And let's say Tampa – well, they'd be 2 games behind because I guess Tampa or Atlanta, one of them has to win. So, if they lose, they'll be 2 games out. With 12 games to go, like, that's not that scary. Like, that is, they can make that back. But I don't know, on some level, it really does feel like if they drop this one, like, you can kind of forget it. So I'm not ready to call this, like, categorically a must win, but they got to have this.
Yeah. And listen, it can turn on a dime. They beat Seattle, they beat the crap out of Joe Burrow, and they're 3-3. We'll be talking ourselves into an Andy Dalton extension. You think I'm nuts, but give it 2 weeks. Just let it marinate in your brain. So, listen, guys, if you're on this, thanks. We had a ton of people in the room tonight. Support Saints Happy Hour. Go to saintshappyhour.com. Sign up for a month like Melissa and Joaquin and Dylan. They all did it. And if they don't like it, I'm going to refund their money, and they'll still get their booze bundle. So sign up, support the show. We have more fun in the Discord, talking Saints in a private Discord channel. You get a podcast every day. You get Andrew's written grades. You get my WWL column early. We are freaking fire hose of Saints content, and it's only $10 a month. Give us a try. If you don't like it, I'll give you a full refund. So thank you for joining us. We will see you Monday on the live stream. Go Saints. Who dat? Please, please, please get to 3-2.